Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we humble ourselves before you, O God, tonight. Heavenly Father, recognizing you as God, you are high and holy. Lord God, there is none like you. Father God, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be glorified, and you are worthy to be magnified in us and through us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, just for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity. Our prayers that you speak to our hearts, the things that you will for our lives, O God, and graft your word in us, conform us to the very likeness of your Son. Help us, O God, even on tonight, Heavenly Father, that you might receive glory. We pray right now, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would relieve us and deliver us, Heavenly Father, of even the things that we've seen, heard, felt, and experienced even throughout this day, Lord God, that stand as a distraction, oh God, from you having your way, oh God. Holy Spirit, help us to focus even on the things of you, Heavenly Father, that you might be glorified, that you might be magnified, that you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, might just imprint upon us, Heavenly Father, and impose upon us, O God, the very things that you will for us, conform us to your likeness. Right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that our lives might be the very praise of your glory. Crucify me right now, Heavenly Father, that I won't even begin to speak out of myself. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you rebuke just the spirit of pity and pride, O God, in me. Heavenly Father, that you might have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you. We commend this time unto you that you might receive glory and honor. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're, of course, this is a new series. A new series for this month, or however long we're going to be teaching. For right now, where the Lord has us, we're going to be dealing with kingdom living. We want to talk about tonight. Overall, we'll be dealing with kingdom living, but tonight we want to focus on our translation into the kingdom of God, our translation in the kingdom of God. Our focus text is Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. I'm going to read. I'm going to also ask that you turn your attention to Matthew 6:33. And I think those will and Romans 14:17. We'll look at Romans 14:17 as well. So our focus text will be Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. We'll also look at Matthew 6:33, and we'll also look at Romans 14:17. Amen. So we'll start reading. Verse 9 says, "For this cause," this is Paul, "we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and do desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." Thank you, Lord. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us," here we go, this is where we want to get into the meat of what we're talking about. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or has qualified us, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us," there we are, "into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." This is a wonderful declaration. Amen. By Paul to the church in Colossae. but also to all of us. This word transcends time, decades, centuries. God spoke once. And his word reverberates throughout all of time. In that same encouragement that Paul had for the church at Colossae, the same encouragement that God has for us. Amen. He says, for this cause, since the day we heard, we do not cease to pray. This was his prayer for the church. This, which means this is God's will and desire for the church here in verse 9, right? That we might be what? Filled. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, that we might know something, that our hearts might be broken to know the will of God for us. To know God's great desire and pleasure for his children, right? That, you know, that we might walk in and understand the very glory of God, which is our fellowship. And I should have said the title, but the title again is, or the theme is our kingdom living, right? The focus tonight is on us being translated into the kingdom through the work of Christ Jesus, right? But really the sub-focus of what we're dealing with is really the impetus and is the core around the kingdom of God and the core around our salvation, which is our intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we'll get into it. We'll get into it. But this is what God wanted us to know. Listen, it is not his desire for us to know it in our mind. It is, but that's secondary. It's his desire for us to know this in our hearts, right? To be steadfast in our understanding of who God is, how much he loves us, right? And what his will is, or his word says about us. This is his great desire. This was Paul's prayer. In our hearts, right? Paul said it's with the heart man believes unto what? Unto righteousness, that we got to know this. Y'all listen, it's about our faith. Foundationally, anything that we teach, anything that's preached, anything that we receive, ultimately, it's about our faith. It's about us knowing beyond what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've experienced, what we've felt, how people treat us. I'm teaching to myself right now. How people treat us, what's going on in the news, what's going on in the world, what the election, the outcome, whether or not the outcome of the election works out in the way that we desire it to, does not matter. All that matters is how much God loves us, what God says, and who he is. That's all that matters. That's all that matters in the life of the believer. Because once we get that, he takes care of everything else. And that's what we talk. See, because that's the kingdom. Once we get that, that's when we talk about being translated into the kingdom of God. That's what that's all about. It's like a looking glass in an incubator, right? Where we are completely isolated in the bosom of Christ, perfectly protected, seeing through a looking glass everything that's going on, everything that's going on in life. And guess what? Knowing that it will not come nigh thee. Knowing that it will not come nigh thee. We were on prayer last night, and I was talking about our meditation scripture in Psalms 91. In verses 9 and 10, right? When David said, because thou hast made the Most High God who is our, no, because thou hast made the Lord who is our refuge, the Most High God, thy habitation, there will be no evil that will befall me, nor any plague that will come nigh thy dwelling. That's the kingdom of God.
our dwelling place. Christ, our dwelling place. Living in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's our incubator. That's our protection. That's our insulation. And guess what? I'm telling you, I'm going to testify right now. Me and my wife were just having a conversation. And I thank God. I thank God for the word of God. I thank him for the word of God because, you know what? And I'm ashamed. Because at times you experience things and you're confronted with things. And it's almost like this mind will have you forget. Everything. Everything that God has promised us. And then when you come in contact with this word, and he reminds you, he reminds you of his faithfulness. He reminds you that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. He reminds us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Touch not my anointed, my prophet, and do my anointed no harm. He reminds us, and I thank God for right now, just the power of his word to remind us that we are kingdom dwellers. We live in the kingdom. We exist and operate as the children of God in the kingdom. In the kingdom of the Most High, we've been translated into this kingdom. So he says here, he talks about his prayer that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will in the wisdom and the spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Right? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God. Listen, and we're going to talk about the Matthew 6:33 in a little bit, right? Where Christ declared to them, right? Seek ye what? Seek ye first what?
The kingdom of God
and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And maybe not tonight, but we'll deal with the seeking, right? And then the seeking really is about our pursuit. It's about our journey. Right? It's about this walk in Christ. And this is what this verse 10 is dealing with. That he says that he might do what, y'all? Verse 10.
Walk worthy.
We might walk, right? Walk means what? Walk is an act of what?
Movement.
Right. Thank you, kids. Movement for, not just movement, right? Because we can say movement, move backwards. Mm-hmm. Right? And I feel like I took a step backwards, right? But no, movement forward, right? And he's compelling us and he's encouraging us in forward movement. He says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He's letting us know that in the kingdom there is a standard.
Yeah.
There's a standard in the kingdom, a standard of perfection. Hear me, not saying that we are perfect as people, but saying that we are continually walking in maturity, consistently being mature in our relationship and fellowship with Christ. All that means is I'm getting to know him better and better. My desire and my aim and my seeking, because if we say the kingdom is all about our intimate fellowship in this relationship with God, our forward movement is not about, oh, I'm stronger. That's a fruit. It's not about, oh, I'm wiser. That's a fruit. It's not about, oh, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. That's the fruit. The forward movement is all about one thing, and we have to have tunnel vision for this one thing: getting closer to Christ. Getting to know him more and more. He is the focus. We've been reconciled unto him for a reason. And it's all about me getting closer to Christ Jesus.
And this is what that, and that's really, so when we talk about the standard of living, right? And we put too much pressure on ourselves as believers and as children of God, right? And we're so hard on ourselves about things, about mistakes. Listen, if we stay focused on the prize, if we keep our focus and attention on the goal, and is that is to get closer to Christ. That is to be conformed in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Guess what, y'all? He takes care of everything else. As long as my attention on, oh, I can't mess up today, or I can't do this today. No, we can't handle that. We can't handle that. Our focus has to be, Lord, I want to know you. I want to get to know you better. I understand that there's no limit or no ceiling on who you are. So I just want to focus on one thing, getting to you. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, listen, when he in Philippians, is it chapter 3? When he talks about, I press toward the mark, that I might what? That I might apprehend what? That which has apprehended me. Who's apprehended us?
Christ
Jesus. That's all he cared about. What did he say? He said that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death by any means necessary. I want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. I've got to get to him. I've got to capture him. I've got to get there. I've got to get to him. And so he said that I might apprehend that which I have been apprehended of, Christ Jesus. He's got a hold of me. I need to get a hold of him. Yes. It's all about this fellowship with Christ. And then he says, I press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling which is in my money.
Christ Jesus.
My job.
Oh no.
People liking me. Uh-uh. Right.
Christ Jesus.
That's right. Christ Jesus. That was his goal. That's the prize. Listen, the prize is Christ. You know why he's the prize? Because he's the kingdom. We'll get into it. I'm skipping ahead. All right. So he goes on to say there's a standard, right? There's a standard unto all pleasing. And the only way we get that, and the only way we meet that standard, the only way we get to that mark is pressing towards a greater fellowship and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, right? He says, being fruitful in every good work, right? Being fruitful. How are we fruitful? John chapter, we talk about the vine. What is that? John chapter what?
We stay connected.
John chapter 15, right? He says what? I am the
vine.
We are what?
Branches.
Right? Right. And there's no other way to produce fruit unless we produce it.
No.
What do we have to do? We have to stay connected. We have to abide in the vine. Right, Chuck? Chuck, talk about that. Claudia, I'm sorry. Right? Right? We have to abide in the vine. That's how we're fruitful. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying about Christ being our focus, because when he's our focus, we'll walk unto all pleasing. And we'll be fruitful in all of our works. Because guess what? It's not us producing the fruit, because we've got tunnel vision for Christ and we're abiding in the vine and he's producing the fruit. Right? We're getting there. We're getting there, y'all. Right? And he says, strengthen with all might in verse 11, according to your power. Oh, according to his glorious power, unto what, y'all?
All patience.
And what?
Long-suffering.
With what?
Joyful.
That's what convicted me tonight. That's what convicted me tonight. That is what broke and dealt with my heart tonight. That right there. In his glorious power unto all what? Patience and long suffering, right? With joyfulness, even in the midst of what we go through.
with joy, right? Because we're abiding in him. Paul said what? After Christ told him what? Christ told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made what?
Perfect.
In what? In our weakness. And Paul said, therefore, I'll glory or rejoice in infirmities, in reproaches. Thank you, Lord. In persecution. Right? For when I am weak, he is strong. His strength is then manifested, right? Unto what? Patience. Long suffering. And guess what? Not just patience and long suffering. Well, God, I'm waiting with you. I don't know how much longer I could take this. Lord, y'all, this is the stuff that was going on in my mind today. Right? I don't know how much, but I'm trusting. God don't want that.
With joyfulness.
He said, with joy. That's what convicted me.
Amen.
He said, with joyfulness. And that's why he can say in Romans chapter 5, not only this, but we can rejoice in persecution, in tribulation, knowing that what? Tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
Patience worketh what?
Experience.
Experience worketh what?
Hope.
Assurance. And that hope will never disappoint us. Why? Because the love of Christ is shed abroad. That's what I go back to in this kingdom. We got to know how much he loves us. We've got to know what he says. And we've got to know who this God is. He ain't some old little weak, measly statue, calf, golden calf, right? Right? Mm-hmm. That inanimate object that we worship and bow down to, like people do with their cars and their houses and their jobs and their money. No, this is the Most High God. This is God Jehovah.
Amen.
Right? The pre-existing God. The God who was before there was. Right? This is God Nisi, our banner, our victory. Right? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Elohim, faithful. Adonai, Lord, this is the God that we serve. And then when we know it, we can rejoice. Amen. In patience and in long suffering. These are all fruits of the kingdom, y'all. Right? And this is all our state and our standing in the kingdom. Right? So in verse 12, he says what? And here we are in the meat of our text for the night. Right? Giving thanks. Because he says with all patience, long suffering, and joyfulness, right? He says what? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does it mean when he says he has made us meet? I said it earlier when we read it. What does that mean? He has qualified us, right? He has made us qualified. Because guess what, y'all? We didn't deserve it, right? By grace are you saved. Not of works. It is the gift of God, right? Lest any man should do what? Folks, we had nothing to do with this salvation, but he qualified the unqualified, right? He's made us meet. He's made us fit for the kingdom. Right? Listen, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the perfect. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely would one die for a righteous man. Even peradventure, or least likely, would one die for a good man. And guess what? We were none of those. But Christ commended a love while we were yet still in our ratchet, filthy, sinful condition. He looked at us. He looked upon us with compassion. He said, I'm going to qualify you. Make you meet. That's why we've got to live in the kingdom and have a kingdom mindset, because this world will make you think that you aren't worthy, that you aren't qualified, that you don't deserve, that And God says the absolute opposite. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. A marvelous work. That's what God says about us. We are the apple of his eye when everyone else will throw you away. Man, it's the love of Christ. He's made us meet. He's qualified us. And I heard Pastor Wright dealing with this. I don't know if it was Sunday or last Wednesday or the Sunday before that. When he talked about grace and he talked about mercy. He talked about the grace of God. Us giving us what we did not deserve. In the mercy of God, us not getting what we did deserve. Right? Because guess what? Because of what Christ did on the cross, by his work, by his blood, by his love, have we been qualified and made meet, right? To have absolutely what we did not deserve. What we don't deserve. Amen. And he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we're going to talk about that inheritance a little bit later in verse 10. And then on to verse 13, he says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has done what, y'all? He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, right? And when we talk about being translated, we talk about being translated into the kingdom. It's what we were just talking about. It's being qualified, right? But being translated also means being changed from one form to another. To be translated means to be changed from one form to another, also means to be carried across. God has changed us. So listen, when he says he's made us meet, or he's translated through the finished work of the cross, we've got to understand what the finished work of the cross is, right? Because what does the cross represent, y'all?
Death.
What else? Death and burial. Yes, you're right there where we're going, right? Right? Who's death? Christ's death, right? He died. Who should have been up there?
Us.
We should have been up there, right? Mm-hmm. But what did he do?
He died in our place.
He took our place.
Took our place in death.
He took our place. He took our place on the cross. Yes, thank you. He took our place in death. Does the story stop there?
No.
Absolutely not, but we treat it like it does, right? And that's part of the problem. We say he's translated us, right? And when we say that he's carried us across, or translation meaning change from one form to another, listen, that denotes that in us being translated into the king, there's got to be a change that takes place. And in order for that change to take place, we have to accept the finished work of the cross. The finished work, when he said it is finished, it just didn't mean, okay, I'm dead, Lord, receive me now. Mm-hmm. No, the finished, remember what we said about Christ, that he's an omnipresent God, right? And that he stands over, above time and space, right? We say it all the time, right? Time and space, all of eternity, all of existence is before God, like this piece of paper is before us right now, the beginning and the end, right? All of eternity is before Christ. So when he says it is finished, he was speaking for all of existence. And that finished work was not just his death on the cross, but it was his not just his substitution on the cross, but his continued substitution for us in this life. I can't accept and receive what Christ did on the cross without accepting and receiving what his goal and desire is for, is to replace me in life. Because they're synonymous. They're not two separate events. He did not go on the cross and say, I'll bear all the sins of the world. It is finished. All right, now, y'all good. Go
go ahead and live the way you want to live. No, he says, I'm taking your place for all of eternity. I'm taking your place. It starts right now. Does not end here on the cross, but it continues even in life all the way up until I come back for you. It is my goal to replace you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the first among many brethren. His desire is to replace us. I can't reject, and that's why you can't, and I know y'all think we're crazy, but that is why you cannot reject the message of co-crucifixion and death, because if you do, you're rejecting the will of God. His desire was not to go to the cross and die for us to continue to walk around in us, but for the very purpose of him to live this life through us. It's his desire. That's what kingdom living is all. This is what the kingdom. Listen, the kingdom. You heard the baby sing the song. The kingdom of God is within me. It's not around me. Mm-hmm. It ain't up yonder, over yonder, somewhere. The kingdom of God is in me because Christ is the kingdom. He is the fulfillment of the kingdom. And he's got to live in me. He's got to have preeminence in me. He's got to have lordship over me and in me. He's got to be living instead of me. He's got to be living in us. So when we talk about this translation, us being translated, what usually gets translated?
Languages.
Why do we need translation? So that we can understand. Translations take something that is foreign, and uninterpretable, ununderstandable, and makes it palatable. Right? It makes it understandable. Makes it look like something. Listen, because of sin, the Bible says our sins have separated us from God. Right? Right? Adam's sin separated us from God. We were unrecognizable because of our sin, because God don't understand sin. He hates it. And we represented sin and rebellion, and the blood of Jesus translated us. It made us because he took our place, got us to a place where God, because of Jesus Christ, could recognize us. It translated us. He translated us to the kingdom of God. He translated us. That's why he stands, right? His death was the propitiation for our sins. He translated. He made us meet. He's qualified us for fellowship with the Most High God. That's why Christ says, I am the what?
The way.
I am the truth. I am the life. Did he say me and you was the way? Uh-uh. He said, I am the way. Because he's the one who stands between us and the Father. Making us meet. Making us, qualifying us. Translating us. For the kingdom. For the kingdom. This is his work. This is Christ. This is Christ's work. So he says, so let's look at Matthew. We're going to come back to Colossians chapter 1. But let's go ahead and look at Matthew 6. 33. Very familiar passage of scripture. Doug, do you have that?
Matthew 6:33.
Yes, sir.
here we go. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking, when we talked about it, we talked about it a little bit earlier. That's our pursuit, right? But what is that the pursuit of? What is that the pursuit of, y'all? And we alluded to it a little bit earlier. It's the pursuit of Christ, right? And it's the pursuit of what he's going to do in our lives. Is it the pursuit of what he's going to do? Right. It's the pursuit of what Christ has already done. This is key. When we talk about kingdom living, right? This kingdom living, and I heard, and Pastor Wright has taught about this. He talks about this, and he draws the diagram, right? And he talks about, and he's dealing with the world. And I forget what he titles it, but if you remember that diagram where we're part in the world, part in the, you know, part in the kingdom, right? And what he mean, and the reason for that is because of our flesh, right? And our carnality. And the kingdom, but there has to be a continual pursuit, right? For what? What do we say? We're pursuing to get to know Christ more and more. And in that, we're being conformed more and more. And we're being transformed and translated less like the world, less in the world, more like Christ, more in Christ, right? But it's based on what he's already done. It's not anything new that he's doing. When he said it is finished, it's finished. What isn't finished is our faith, right? And God desires us by faith. That's why he says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as we're pursuing him, we're growing in our faith and the word of God becoming more and more our living experience, our living way. The word has always been. The will of God has always been. The kingdom has always been established. What he's looking for are subjects, right, that are willing to make him their habitation, to make him their dwelling place. It's already done. So our pursuit and our seeking, continual seeking of Christ, is what Christ is referring to. He said, seek ye first. In other words, seek ye only the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of the rest. But what happens with us, we get so distracted. Right? And instead of seeking him, we talked about this before, he's the one-stop shop. It's all in him. It's all of him. Our fulfillment is in him. Our salvation is in him. Our deliverance is in him. Our validation is in him. Our affirmation is in him. Our peace is in him. Our joy is in him. Our security is in him. All things are in him. But what we try to do, we go over here. Let me get a piece of peace. Let me try to get a little bit of joy over here. Let me try to get a little bit of validation from this person. Let me get some affirmation from this person. Let me go get my money from over here. Let me go get this over there. And you know what? We end up tired. Because there was everything we needed is in one place. But we chose to seek it everywhere else. And so guess what? We running around all scatterbrained. All over the place. Boom, 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 boom. Here, and there. And we wonder why. And that's why, so, including myself, y'all. That's why so many of us are so tired. We're tired physically. We're tired emotionally. We're tired spiritually. Because that's the plan of the devil. The plan of the devil is to keep us running around. Looking for a piece of this and a piece of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And
it don't last, so we run after it even more. Mm-hmm. And it don't last, and we run after it a little bit more. And it don't last, and we wonder why. We're so tired. Mm-hmm. We're tired. And that's why he told him, the pastor, why I preached the other Sunday, be careful unless you fail to enter into that rest. For guess what? For if they had the word just like you had the word. But it profited them not. Why?
No faith.
Because it was not mixed with faith. That's what I said. The faith failure. Right? We've got to continue to mature in our faith. And there's only one way to do that. And that's through the word of God. We've got to eat this word. We've got to digest this word. This word has got to be engrafted in us. And I heard Pastor Wright said on the sermon Sunday, he referenced, he said, we need the word more than we need what?
Food. Necessary food.
More than necessary food. It is our food. The word of God is our sustenance. And it's our victory. So we've got to pursue it. And that's why Christ said to the disciples after they had heard the word and believed the word, he said unto them after they believed, what did he say? He said, if ye what? If ye continue in my word. And then and there was a big word in there after that. He said, then. That's a conjunction. Right? That's covenant. In other words, if you don't continue in my word, you won't be my disciple. You won't be shaped and conformed into my likeness. You won't grow in faith. You won't grow in victory and in strength. Right? But if you continue in my word, then, and how many times do we see it? How many times? Look at the condition of the church. People have taken the word of God and put it on the shelf.
Oh, yes.
We ignored it. We'll come in, we want to sing. We want to, listen, I admit, praise and worship has become a doctrine of the church. No. Don't get me wrong. Bless him. Sing unto God. Give God praise. Absolutely. But that's secondary. You don't even know what praise is about without the word of God.
Amen.
We need the word of God. It's all, listen, it's about the word. That it starts and ends with the word. Listen, me and Pastor Wright have this conversation on what else do we have?
Nothing.
Seriously. You tell me. Name it. You name it, and I'll tell you that one day it's going to break.
That's right.
It's going to depreciate. It's going to expire. Mm-hmm. It's going to run out, and it's going to die. You tell me what does not, you name me one thing other than the word of God that does not fall under that category. Nothing. Because heaven and earth are going to pass away.
Right.
And everything in it. But my word is what he said. Is going to last forever. And guess what, y'all? We're going to last forever. And we'll be forever with Christ if we get the word in us. Because on that day, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the word in us. Because it was Christ who took our place. And it's Christ who is the word. Who continues to take our place. And I'm taking on his likeness and his image. And when we stand before him, that's who he's looking for. Guess what, y'all? God ain't looking for Minister Marlon Williams. He's looking for the one who's been replaced by Jesus Christ. Because it is Christ who has translated us. See, Marlon is ununderstandable. Marlon is incomprehensible. Marlon don't make no sense to God. But when Christ went on the cross, took my place, and I received him, I took on the likeness of Christ. And that's what makes me qualify to stand before him. That's what makes me qualify. Christ and Christ alone is what qualifies me. For the kingdom. I ain't so cute. The only person who might think so is my wife, and she don't think so all the time. Was not so cute and cuddly and adorable. that God said, oh, look at him. No, he said, no. He only after what Christ did. He says, look at what, look at what the blood of Jesus. Look at what the blood of Jesus has done. He has translated us. He's qualified us, y'all. He's made us meet. He's made us meet for this kingdom. He's made us meet. So we seek ye first, right? And like he said in one chapter 9, right? Our reconciled faith, growing in the likeness of Christ, growing in the, what did he say in verse 9? He said that ye might be filled with the what? The knowledge. Colossians chapter 1, where we started at. He said that ye might be filled with the knowledge. That's what we're seeking. But I'm not seeking to know more head knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's talking about. When he's talking about knowledge, he's talking about relationship. He's talking about knowing Christ. His desire is that we might be filled with the knowledge. Our fellowship be filled with the life or the spirit of Christ. Somebody turn to Colossians 1. We've read this and quoted this a million times. Colossians 1:27, and please read it for us.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. To make known what, Kizzy?
To make known the riches.
The riches of this glory. What does he talk about in the same text, right? In verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the what? The inheritance, right? He talks about the same riches of this inheritance. Later on, what is the inheritance? Who do we receive?
Christ in you.
Christ Jesus, right? Is our inheritance. Listen, the spirit of Christ, the life of Christ in us, the riches of God, all of God, all of God and all of Christ, all of God, he talks about Christ, for it pleased the Father that in him would what? All fullness dwell. The absolute totality of God's deity and authority, the riches of God were all in Christ. And guess what? He delivered Christ to us. Christ is in us, living on the inside of us. So when he talks about his desire that we may be filled, right, or completed or filled up with the knowledge, right, that knowledge, he's talking about our relationship, the fulfillment that we have knowing Christ Jesus, having Christ living on the inside of us is God's great, great desire. So when we talk about being translated into the kingdom of God, it's by Christ. And this is what he talks. So let's just look really quick in our last, I won't go to the next point. We'll stay right here in our last couple minutes. Let's look here in verse 20 of this first chapter of Colossians, right? When he says, for it pleased, we just quoted it, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, right? That's in who?
Christ
Jesus, right? Listen, and having made what, y'all?
Peace.
Made peace, reconciling us. Made peace how? Through the blood of his cross. All right, here's the key. How? By him. To reconcile all things unto himself by him. Right? Mm-hmm.
So listen, we made this point before. We talked about it before. Christ, when he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, he means I'm everything.
Yep.
I'm good. And he's validating it here when he talks about Christ and who Christ is and what Christ has done to bring us into the kingdom, right? He says he's reconciled us to himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how did he do that?
By himself.
By himself. Listen, there's nothing but Christ.
Mm.
How many people? Nobody. What entity, what being do you know, right? That is the substance of all things. Because he is the substance of all things, when it comes time to make things right, he don't go elsewhere and grab something to make things right. He don't have to go get a counterfeit part or an aftermarket part, right, to fix what's wrong with us. What does he do? He takes from himself. Because he is the building block of all things. So when he says, I reconcile all things back to myself, right? By myself.
Mm-hmm.
He is the totality. He is the beginning and the end. He is the substance of all things. He brings about completion and fulfillment and reconciliation of himself. He doesn't need to take from something else. That's what we do. See, man doesn't, listen, we like to take credit for a whole lot of things. Like we created some stuff, right? Like we do something. That's the problem with man, our vanity. It's something else. Problem with the one that's in the office now, right? Vanity, right? There's not one original thought from the beginning of time that not one man has ever had. I don't care, Benjamin Franklin, think he created the light bulb, right? And a million other things we like to give people credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Man, God is the substance. Christ is the substance of all things. He's the only one who can take nothing and make something and give it a name and give it a purpose and give it an identity. Man can't do that. All we can do is recycle stuff. Everything man has ever come up with, he took from God. It's Christ and Christ alone. Who is the substance of? There's not anything that was made that was not made by the word of God. He spoke it. He opened his mouth. And stuff just started happening. When I open my mouth, I get in trouble. Man, when he opens his mouth, life. Because his word is life. The word. He is the word. He is life. He's our life. It's his desire to be our life. And that's why he's translated us into the kingdom. That's why he's qualified us. And that's how he's qualified us. He reconciled us to himself, into the kingdom, by himself, by the blood. It's the only thing that makes us meet. Guess what? Praise the Lord. It's the only thing we need.
Right.
It's the only thing we need. Listen, y'all. All we need is Christ. That's all. That's all we need. In the time, and we're done. In the time where the devil would have you to think, have us to think, that all is lost, that there is no hope, that we're helpless. Some of us looking for a savior, looking for somebody to come in the office and rescue us.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't never gonna happen. We already have a savior.
That's right.
We already have one. We've had one for over 2,020 years. We've had a savior.
We don't need one. And guess what? The reality of the matter is no man can do what Christ has done. But we have to accept our position. We've got to accept our identity in the kingdom as children of the kingdom of God. He's done all the work. There's nothing for us to do but trust. Nothing. Nothing else for us to do but trust. We've got to trust. I got to trust. Because there's enough going on in this world to drive a sane man crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough without Christ Jesus. And we have to be reminded. I thank God for my wife. Encouraged me before I left the house. And sometimes your flesh don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But you thank God. Thank God. And then I thank God for the master encourager, the Word of God.
Yes.
The eternal Word of God. This wonderful word of God. Amen.
Amen.